We read there from Luke's Gospel. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Hey, why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your word. And for many of us, this is a familiar passage. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would bring home whatever truth you would have us learn from it. Impart your truth onto our hearts and minds and our souls this day. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. As I was reading this passage again this week, the word that jumped out to me, or the concept that jumped out to me, was this idea of crying out. Crying out. Now, the word cry or crying can have different connotations based on the situation we find ourselves in. A lot of times when I find myself crying, which isn't often as a Gen X guy, it's because I'm totally overwhelmed. And the crying is almost a crying of exhaustion and of just release of, I cannot handle this anymore, whatever this happens to be. And I know we've all felt that way at times, overwhelmed, tired, or exhausted. And this kind of crying doesn't happen in this story. But we might expect it from someone, or should I say, well, I don't know if it's a someone in the story, because it's not a person so much. It's that little donkey. Have you ever thought about this little donkey?
No.
If anybody had cause to be overwhelmed, it would be this little colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, I have never gone horseback riding, which is quite an accomplishment for having lived in Montana for over a decade, that nobody got me on a horse. But I'm scared of they're big animals. And my only interaction with a horse has been at my in-law's farm in Prosser, my mother-in-law. She's had horses, and I've helped occasionally to take care of the horses. And unfortunately, last year, while I was taking care of one of the horses, it passed away. So, I'm not the person you want to horse, okay? Apparently, I have bad luck. But, has anybody here ridden a horse, or a donkey, or a burro, or some sort of... Now, when you ride these animals, how many of you rode an animal that had been ridden before? Yeah, all hands up. It's generally something you would not get, especially if it's like in a tourist situation, if you're going to go someplace to go horseback riding. Usually those are horses that have been ridden a long time, right? And they are used to people. Why is that? Why would you not want to put somebody green like me on a horse that's never been ridden, or a donkey that's never been ridden? Kennedy?
Because you would know the horse or the donkey
Exactly. So it'd be bad on both ends, right? So the the animal, even if you're somebody that's never ridden an animal before, sometimes you could put me on an animal that, you know, especially those that do the kind of the tourist trails or whatever, you could plop me down on one of those animals and they just sort of know where to go and when to come back and at what speed to go, all those sorts of things, all right? Consider this, that in this gospel passage, we have Jesus requesting this animal that he's going to ride, and he says, you're going to find a colt tied there, one which no one has ever ridden. This is a green donkey, an inexperienced donkey, right? So now that may not be such a big deal if Jesus is just going to ride the donkey there around Bethphage or Bethany and nobody's going to be around. You know, maybe Jesus as the creator of the world would probably be a pretty good horse whisperer or donkey whisperer, right?
Yes.
But what's the setting that this poor little donkey gets thrown into?
Oh, man.
It's like the Super Bowl parade. You know, people are throwing cloaks down in front of it. They're waving things. You know, there's stuff going on in the periphery. It's loud. This is not a setting for success for someone or something, this poor animal that has never experienced this to do well in. And yet it handles it like a champ. Now, we tend to cry. I tend to cry in those moments when we feel inadequate or not up to the task. I don't know what goes on in a donkey's brain, but I'm guessing at that moment that they're starting this procession, this little colt, this foal of a donkey, knew that it wasn't up to the task, if it even knew what was happening. No one's ever ridden this donkey. He's unexperienced. He's going to carry the most important person in the history of the world in this moment. Now, maybe I'm personalizing this donkey too much. But those of us that love animals and know sometimes they can feel in ways that maybe we're not even capable of, and that the reason we have emotional support animals is that they can help us feel in ways that we're not capable without their help. So when God designed creation, I think he had donkeys like this little donkey in mind. Now, do you ever feel like this donkey? If you can kind of place yourself in this position where you're thinking, how did I get into this situation? Jesus needs me at this moment? Are you sure? But we can be sure that whatever burden God puts on us, whatever he asks us or calls us to do, it cannot outweigh his glory in us. The power that he's placed in us. His purpose gives us that power to persevere. Even when something is scary and seems overwhelming, we find ourselves doing things that we thought we never could do when we respond to God's call. And the last thing on this donkey, and I'll move on to a different kind of crying, rather than the crying of feeling overwhelmed, is that we find our success in the same way that this donkey found its success. The same way that this donkey made it through the streets, despite all the shouting and the waving of palm fronds. One step at a time, with Jesus right there with us. We have the opportunity to carry Jesus with us where we go, if we humbly say yes. There's lots of examples. One is here today with us, with the kids from our Livingston group. I remember we were still in the midst of pandemic, and I'm not sure the school's going to let us in and all that. And I just said, we're starting on the first Wednesday in November. Even if they don't let us in the school, I will pray in the parking lot. And we started on the first Wednesday in November. God opened those doors. So one step at a time. And you got to take the first step to get to the second and to get to the third. So that's one type of crying. I thought if I was that poor donkey, I'd be crying, be overwhelmed at the immensity of that moment. The second type of crying that I see here is the crying that is often drawn attention to, the loud shouts of the crowd. They're hooping it up for the miracle man. Did you read that in the scriptures? It says, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. This is verse 37. Praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. That's why they're there. The miracle man, Jesus. And now they're thinking, maybe he's more. Maybe this is it. He's riding into town, Jerusalem, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. Those that were in tune with scriptures and what they said, they knew that this sort of thing is what kings do. So maybe this is Jesus' moment. He's going to ride straight to the temple and declare himself the Messiah, and that he's setting up his kingdom. And they were getting excited. They greet him as king. Now, what I find is fascinating is that they're doing all the right things, but for all the wrong reasons. All the right things for all the right reasons. They're recognizing that Jesus is the Messiah, but their motivation is about his miracles and the things that he's done for them. And a lot of times, we can fall into the same trap. I know I can fall into the same trap, that I'm praising God and I'm getting excited about my faith because God has done something for me. And that's a certain place where maybe our faith starts. But if we just kind of stay stuck there, we don't get to explore the joys of maturing in our faith, where we understand that God's with us even when there's no apparent answer to our prayers, or not the answer that we were hoping for. A miracle may have drawn you to Jesus. Lots of people have amazing testimonies of the things that God did that opened the door of faith for them. But I hope that your relationship, my relationship, our relationship with God isn't dependent on Jesus continuing to give us goodies. Right? The things that motivate us extrinsically. It's a sign of an unhealthy relationship and an immature person to demand payment for continued relationship. Be like, if the only reason I was Kennedy's friend is because he had, you know, a really cool gaming system, and whenever I went over there, we got to play video games together, and he had something that I didn't. Now, I will fully admit, as a child of the 70s and 80s, I grew up in the Atari era, you know, the first home gaming system. And I wish I was that shallow child that had some friends that I was friends with just because they had cool toys. I'm sure nobody here ever did that in their childhood, that they hung out with certain people because they had cool toys or a cool car or could take them places. But sometimes that's what motivates our relationships at a certain, and we recognize that usually looking back as fairly immature or not something that really signaled a depth of relationship. A childhood relationship may start out that way. You know, kid gets a new toy, you want to play with it. But eventually maturity necessitates that if that relationship's going to last, that presence, that ability to just be with somebody and feel comfortable with them. For those of you that have a good friend that's like that, you can just hang out. You can go sit on a fishing boat with them for 6 hours and say like two words, and that's a great day. You're just with them. You know, that girlfriend that you can get together with coffee for, maybe you pass a thing, but then at a certain point, you're just comfortable just being around them. That those are the relationships that have reached a certain level of maturity, that you can just be with them and feel comfortable in your own skin, and they're comfortable in their own skin. Think about that in terms of your relationship with God. A lot of times, times of devotion or prayer are uncomfortable for us because we feel like we need to be doing something or saying something or singing something. But to just kind of just be, you know, that Psalm 46:10 verse, but be still and know that I am God. How many of you are as bad at that as I am? Being still, not doing anything, you know, that's hard for me to just kind of be present with God. That's what I'm still working towards that in my Christian maturity. But if I look at those human relationships, there's only a few that I've got where I feel comfortable just being present with somebody. Now, the last type of crying that I want to point out to you in this story, talked about the crying that I would have been doing if I were that little donkey. We talked about the crying of the crowd, the shouts of Hosanna. The last crying is the crying that could have happened. The crying that could have happened. Do you guys know that story well enough? What would have happened? What did Jesus say would have happened if the crowd hadn't cried out? Do you know? The stones would have cried. Rocks. Now, if you, it doesn't look like the book has made it very far, which is fine. But the Holy Land, if you've seen pictures of the Holy Land of Jerusalem, it's a rocky place. There are stones everywhere. There's a reason they're building their homes out of stone, because stones are plentiful, right? So I'm sure part of it was Jesus saying in that moment to the Pharisees, you know what, I could make them be quiet, but if they're quiet, the stones, and there were a lot, I can guarantee you, there were a lot more stones surrounding them in that moment than there were people. But these stones would cry out. So he's maybe talking about the stones in the road, stones in the walls, maybe even the temple walls. If the people had been silent, the rest of creation would have had to recognize the immensity of this moment. Now, that idea of the people being silent, it's really hard to find any place in our world that's silent these days, right? Silence is hard to come by. To the point that we're so acclimatized to noise that there's always a TV on in the background. We've got our smartphones in our pocket that buzz every couple of seconds to give us a notification from social media or you know, that we've got a new text message. It's nearly impossible to find silence these days. Everybody, in a sense, is crying out for our attention throughout the day, into the night, to the point that we carry our anxieties from the day into our dream life. I was having weird dreams. Does anybody have those weird dreams where you can't find your car, you can't find, you know you've got an appointment to go someplace, but you can't figure out where it is, right? That's, when I have those sorts of dreams like I had last night, I know that I'm anxious about something, trying to figure it out. So usually I get up, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm not sure what it is I'm anxious about, but I'm anxious, and I'm praying about that. So, while I would commend to you, like I said earlier, that being still and just being present with God, the other piece that I'd like you to think about as we conclude is less a matter of silence versus crying out these days, but when we have an opportunity to cry out about something, when we are asking for somebody else's attention, when somebody else gets our attention, notice the things that are getting our attention. What cries are we listening to? Is it every time I get a like on social media, you know, my phone buzzes and I'm like, oh, good, somebody noticed something I posted, you know, or now I look after Desert Springs Instagram and Facebook account. So part of it is I get excited when somebody notices something I put up there about the church, because I think, well, That's how we share what we're doing and the mission. So those are the type of things that have my attention, that cry out. Most of you that have known me for a while know that I'm a sports fan too. So it's not hard to cry out to me about my sports teams, and that gets my attention. So maybe do a little inventory this week. What is it? Who is it, and what is it that can cry out to you and get your attention to the point where there's no more filter? And then maybe that's the point, is that those areas where we've lost our filter, we need to bring the filter back. Kind of think, is this something worth my attention right now in this moment? And then when something does have our attention, what is it that riles us up and motivates us? What causes us to move past just getting upset about something and taking action? You know, are we upset about homelessness enough to maybe try to do something for the homeless? I mean, we're doing a little thing for the homeless this week. Are we upset enough about the conflict in the world that we're going to find a way to purposefully do something about it? I don't know. So those are my thoughts this day. And thank you for kind of hearing me out. This is a week that begins the most important week in history. And before I pray, I just want you to think about that. Don't rush through this week. Take time. Maybe purposefully block out time on your calendar to just be present. To put that filter back in place. To turn off the TV. Spend a little time reading scripture. Find a Good Friday service to go to. If it's not here, maybe it's at your church or another church. I'm excited about the opportunity on Wednesday we have with our Livingston Club to have a special Easter Club. Did you guys know we were having a special Easter Club? Did you remember? We are. Build some things in this week that allow you to slow down. So that we don't miss this very important holiday coming up. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for this chance to be together and worship. To think about the things that cry out to us, that we cry out about. The times when we feel overwhelmed. We don't feel up to the task. This could be a very busy week. And that busyness could be all about good things. But if that busyness crowds out time to be with you and to celebrate what this holiday of Easter coming up next Sunday is all about, Lord, well, maybe it's not the busyness you would have us be about. Lord, as we conclude our service with a song and with taking communion together, we think about that event many years ago, in that last week of your life, when the word says, having loved them all, he loved them to the end. Meaning us, his disciples. You showed us that in very real ways you did not come to be served but to serve. To have your body broken and your blood shed for us. But you washed your disciples' feet. You took on the role of the servant when you should have been the guest of honor. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you that each day we can stop and think about what's important to us. And if for anyone here, if something's been crying out to their hearts that has got them distracted, motivated to go in directions other than your best for us, Lord, we pray for the grace and mercy to to set those things aside, to ask for forgiveness and to be set back on the path. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.